Today's show is sponsored by Miracle Made. And oh my God, you guys, you know that I love a luxurious set of sheets. And I now have such a set of sheets because of a Miracle Made. They are bedding that has been inspired by NASA. They've got silver-infused fabrics that actually make temperature regulating a thing. So you're not like getting too hot or too cold or whatever, you know, the whole thing that happens with your body's temperature losing its mind. Miracle Made helps with that. One of the little things that my husband particularly loves about Miracle Made is that it like doesn't have as much bacteria as regular sheets because of it's infused with this silver that prevents up to 99.7% of bacterial growth. So it leaves the sheets cleaner for longer. And then the thing for my husband is that it doesn't give him acne, which is like an issue for some people. But more than all of that, it's just luxuriously comfortable and delightful. And it has that cooling feeling while also being cozy. Very hard to achieve those two things at the same time. I mean, Miracle Made, come on, well done. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and buy some sheets today. And if you order today, you can save 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION at the checkout and you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. So there's just a lot of savings here, folks. Order today, you'll get 40% off. Use the promo code FAKETHENATION. Go to trymiracle.com/FAKETHENATION. And Miracle's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you're not 100% satisfied, which I don't see happening, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/fakethenation and use the code FAKETHENATION to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/fakethenation to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode.
Fake the Nation, episode 235.
Hello, hello. This is Fake the Nation, where we talk about news, we talk about politics, and where we preside over another impeachment of the President of the United States. I'm so sorry that we're making history in what was supposed to be a very quiet, lame duck period of American political life. I'm your host, Nagin Farsad, and I didn't want to hit the ground running in 2021. I wanted to hit the ground napping. But here we are, and we're going to talk about the aftermath of sedition and armed insurrection. We're also going to talk about freedom of speech and the platforms that might control it. And finally, we'll talk about the New Year's resolutions you've already abandoned. Today, I'm joined by, the best panel for what is happening in America. You think armed insurrection, and these two names come to mind. First off, we have joining us on the show again. He's a veteran of Fake the Nation. He is a comedian who I've seen just delight audience to no end. He can play in any room in America and people will love him no matter what their political leaning, because he's just got that kind of thing, the charm, the universal charm. He's got a new album. It's called the Zoom Album 2020, which I highly recommend you download. You remember maybe hearing a bit from that in our Christmas episode. Folks, it's Dustin Chapin. Hey, Dustin.
Yay. Hello. Great to see you.
So glad to see you. You've got that post-holiday, post-sedition look on your face. And folks, that means whatever you think it means. also joining us on the show today, we love this panelist, editor of Reductress. I mean, and Reductress is one of the funnier fucking things on the internet. If I haven't said it before, let me just be very clear on the fucking level of funniness of this website. It's it's incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, editor of Reductress, Sarah Pappalardo. Hey, Sarah.
Hello, hello, hello. I am in a bunker right now, safe. Nobody can get me here somewhere in Connecticut and I'm at the disclosed location.
And for listeners who really want to picture, visualize this, there is some sort of steam pipe that is obstructing our view of Sarah. She is literally in some sort of a bunker. Now let's get into it with topic number one. And before I say anything, I want to point out that we're recording Wednesday afternoon in the Eastern time zone, and that who knows what will happen after we record this. Last week, an armed insurrection happened, you know? So really, who knows? Follow me on all the social medias that we all abhor, and I'll somehow provide more analysis if shit goes down even further as the week continues. Now, after last week's insurrection and Donnie's acts of sedition, there was a lot of talk about the 25th Amendment, which looks like it isn't happening. There was a lot of talk about a second impeachment, which as of this taping is happening in the House. When and how the vote will go to the Senate is another question. And before we get into all of that, I just want to ask the both of you, what do you think about the state of affairs? Just a ball of wide open-ended question for you to put your guts on the floor. Dustin, what do you think?
You know, I'm exhausted, obviously. I was, you know, we were all so excited to just have this new year. And so, yeah, it's bad, you know. I mean, I just spent the whole time watching, you know, the riots and all the stuff that was happening, wondering if those are some of my relatives. Like, I was just afraid that I was just like, is that Uncle Tommy? Because it was like a lot of these wild things. I don't know. I think,
yeah,
obviously,
I mean, for those who may not know, Dustin is from Texas. And not to say the people in Texas are seditionist.
Just most
that,
of them are.
Just but, that you're one of the, you're one of our sort of like both blue and red state friends.
Yeah, I'm kind of an inside man for you
there,
guys.
There
like
it
I
is.
I could tell you of the people what's happening. So yeah, I mean, obviously it's just, you know, we're just hoping that he gets taken out of, I hope he's banished from all media. That would be amazing. Even cable access.
And we'll be getting into that in the next segment. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I saw a Stop the Steal flag driving through the Connecticut suburbs today. And, you know, a state also full of many white people. And let me just say on behalf of the whites, we are not sending our best people to the Capitol this month. really, really.
It's intern day.
I have a cautious pessimism toward January 20th.
Cautious pessimism. So, I mean, right, because we really just needed to get through 20 days, and we didn't get through them. So I get it. And I think the weird thing for me about now where we are here on Wednesday after the insurrection is that At first, the quote, storming of the Capitol looked a little bit like a rave. There were costumes. There was like some face paint. It didn't, in fact, that day seem as violent as we now know that it is. I mean, of course, like, you know, senators and congresspeople like crouching under desks, that is should send chills down your spine. But the immediate images were sort of confusing, right? And now we know that, you know, that five people have died and that it was just a lot more violent and a lot. And then, napalm ingredients and all of that stuff like hanging around. So everything just as there was more reporting, I actually got like more upset by what we were seeing. Whereas I feel like on that day, it was just a lot more confusing and seemed maybe just a lot more silly, you know? And I don't know if you felt that way.
Yeah, I feel like there was a lot of a mixed crowd, if you will, of kind of like serious militia people, serious Trump people, and then people that just wanted to update their acting reel.
Right, exactly. Right, and they're, you know, or like they were like, you know, promoting their Etsy shop of costumes or something. So now it looks like we're going into this impeachment session right before we logged onto this Zoom call. I heard just like 30 seconds of Matt Gaetz speaking in the impeachment hearing, and he was being booed, and I think maybe a little bit of cheering. But it looks like it's going to be a bipartisan vote. Five Republicans, including Liz Cheney of Wyoming, are voting to impeach. And Liz Cheney said there's never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States. Like, she made it very plain. Even Kevin McCarthy of California, he's a top Republican in the House. He is personally opposed to impeachment, but he's not
rallying his, you know, the caucus to vote against impeachment. So it, and then other people who are voting for impeachment of the, among the Republicans are John Katko of New York, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, Fred Upton of Michigan, Jamie Herrera Butler of Washington. And then apparently Mitch McConnell is in it. Sarah, what do you think of the Republican response to impeachment?
Well, I think the usual characters who would you would think would be shocked are shocked. But the surprise to me is Mitch McConnell. So, I mean, I'm stuck asking if this man who is so craven and so feckless in his lust for power is starting to turn. I'm happy about that, but I'm also just wondering what's in it for him, because that's the only way that he thinks. So I'm curious what he thinks the political upside is, because I know it's not doing the right thing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I feel it's, you know, I think they're debating which base is bigger, you know, the Trump base or the Lincoln Project base. You know, I think they're trying to
figure,
you know, it's really about their agenda in the future and things, you know, but yeah, I don't trust any of it. But Mitch McConnell, it was nice to see him do that for sure. It's probably the best thing he's ever done.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's interesting because some of the arguments that we've heard on the floor today is that the Democrats are trying to divide America again with impeachment. But the country, if you think about like previous American scandals, which really just look like a silly episode of The Real Housewives now. You know, Watergate isn't,
yeah,
does not rise to this parents, level.
Yeah. Our parents can't back in the dais anymore.
You know, exactly.
We caught up.
We caught up. Yeah. We're the ones that have been trudging for miles in the snow to get to school, right? Yeah. And so with Nixon, it wasn't that the country was divided. It was Republicans were divided until they were like, nope, this was a crime. And they got on board and they told Nixon, we are no longer with you. So then the country was just 100% on board. Leadership matters. And again, I think you're right. It's like, whose base is bigger, the Lincoln Project or Donnie's base? I just don't understand why. I honestly think it's a lot about leadership. You know, culture comes from the top. And if you're a congressperson, it makes a cogent argument against what's happening. There's no reason to believe that your rational voters will not follow you there. Since the beginning, I never understood why everyone was in lockstep behind him. I understand primary challenges. I understand that stuff. But this time, I mean, he's not going to be in office anymore. He's just going to be a guy without a Twitter account, which we'll get to in the next segment. And so I just don't understand what is the point of being so heavily in his corner. And there's also ways of saying, if I'm a Republican, and I don't mean to give Republicans a bunch of, advice here, but if I'm a Republican, I'm just like, you could be like, oh, he did a tax deal we were happy with. He did 400 miles of border wall that inexplicably we're happy with. There's things that you could say. He did these things that we're happy with that were in line with Republican ideology, but he stepped the line when he tried to subvert the Constitution. And so that's where we're unhappy. You know, I think there's ways of saying, look, he did some good things, but this was, beyond the pale. And so we can't support him any longer. And that's reasonable. It's reasonable to kind of toe that line. I don't understand why they wouldn't. So I don't know. But obviously, no, you know, I've learned something about myself in the last 4.5 years of this podcast, is that the GOP leadership does not listen to me. That's the main thing I've learned. But it looks like there's 17 Republican senators that are going to join the Democrats in finding him guilty. I guess the question I have for both of you is, like, the impeachment vote will come, you know, sooner rather than later. When should it go to the House? The Senate. The Senate is where there's a real conviction. The Senate has the power to say that Donnie can't run again, that he's being convicted, he can't run again, he's stripped of some other stuff, I think, like a pension and whatever. Sarah, what do you think, you know, about this timeline? It's awkward because Biden is taking office soon and he's starting his first 100 days and blah, blah, blah. So what do you think the strategy should be here?
I mean, it really just depends on how they can build a caucus. You know, it depends on who they can whip. I can't really say, you know, how it's going to affect Biden's first 100 days. I think what I'm thinking of is, like, what are the repercussions if we don't do it, right, period, whether it's before or after?
What are the repercussions?
I mean, I think we're setting up a stage for a smart Trump to come in office in 2024 and truly destroy this nation.
You mean like another, like like a different person, or like
a Tom Cotton or something much, much worse.
Gotcha.
As far as before or after, I mean, I think what we should do is whatever is most politically advantageous, what gives us the most likelihood of winning, probably with a conviction, which is most likely after the inauguration. But honestly, it just depends on what we can achieve. It's going to be so depressing and so just demoralizing if we go through another impeachment just to not convict, just another exercise in futility. So I just hope that we do whatever we can to ensure a true conviction this time.
Dustin, there's talk, like some House members like Clyburn and stuff, like, floated the idea of sending the impeachment articles over to the Senate like 3 months into Biden's administration. What do you think of doing something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just have to keep fighting no matter what, and no matter what the timeline is. I think we have to just keep, you know, we can't let this just go away. So I think whatever timeline happens, in the sense that hopefully it could be quicker. And I think we all have this illusion that it's, that we get him out, he doesn't have to run again. But it's kind of what you were saying earlier, why do they follow him? I mean, it's you know, it's a huge demographic for merch, you know? They all want to sell books later and t-shirts and shit. They saw what he was doing, you know? They all want to jump on that. Yeah,
they all have their Patreon accounts set up.
They do. It's all this soulless thing. That's just,
well, you know, right. And the other thing is, I think, because it's Chuck Schumer is going to be the Senate Majority Leader, which I know, never thought I would be so enthusiastic about Chucky Schumes, but I am.
So exciting.
I think that, like, I don't know what the right thing to do is. And there are smarter minds out there than me that are really trying to figure this out. I mean, day and night, right? Like, Nancy and Chuck are just trying to figure this the fuck out. But I think that they can set up the rules on how they conduct an impeachment. It doesn't have to be, they could just be like, look, from 10 a.m. to 11 every day, we're going to do some impeachment convictions. And then the rest of the day, we're going to work on COVID relief packages. You know, like, I think, I don't know. It's a little bit, it's just like, get the date book out, do some prioritization, let's get down a real solid to-do list, and let's just parse out the day in reasonable chunks. I don't know.
I mean, they can walk and chew gum at the same time. I mean, this is one article. This is not like a very convoluted, you know, Ukrainian investigation where we need to interview a million people. It's one article. It's a pretty clear cut article too.
It's a nice one.
You're an up or down vote there. So yeah, I think they can get it done efficiently.
Yeah, I agree, because right now the mood is let's get it done. And I do like the idea of sort of like, maybe I don't know how long. I mean, that other one took forever because, you know, there was like 100 conversations and characters, and it was very, like a Lord of the Rings epic. This is more your like supermarket romance novel, you know, like it's easy to follow. Let's get in there. We'll be done in an afternoon. You know, Dustin.
Yeah, the pension thing is huge because he really needs money. So, mm-hmm. you know, to take away, I think it's what, 2 million in travel expenses, and then 200 grand a year or something. I'm not quite sure.
Oh yeah, exactly. I think it was a million. I don't know. Don't quote us, but yeah, I think it was a million in travel expenses. Which, by the way,
ridiculous.
That's a shitload. I had no idea that they got $1 million in travel expenses for the rest of their lives or whatever. And look, I understand that they're still states people and that they have to still kind of go around the world representing America in various ways or whatever, which obviously Donnie should not do, which also obviously most world leaders would be like, no, thank you, sir.
He should have to be like a low-end comic and just get a Toyota Camry and just have to hit the road. That's what he deserves. Like, he can still do his appearances. But he's got to just,
yeah, Yeah. He's Donnie's doing bringer shows at Mar-a-Lago is basically what he's doing for the rest of
his
life.
That's what he deserves.
Okay. Well, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about other things. But you know what we're going to find out about is people who sponsor their show and keep it going. So let's take a break and then we'll be back. I am the type of person that has subscribed to things and I have forgotten about those things. I have paid twice for a children's educational app and I didn't know that I was paying twice for several months. Until that is, I discovered Rocket Money, and because I use Rocket Money, it just showed up all these things. The thing that I was paying twice for that made me incredibly angry, thank God Rocket Money ended that for me. It also cancels the subscription for you, so you don't have to like go through the hassle of going to that site and figuring out how to cancel. They actually make canceling very difficult. I don't know if any of you have had the experience, but I have been on a like a roundabout 8 exit nightmare trying to unsubscribe to something before. Rocket Money eliminates that hassle. It also alerts you to an increase in subscription price. And this is something Rocket Money did for me. It negotiates a lower price for something you already subscribed to. So like for my cable bill, it got me a lower price. And I was very happy about that. Nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about, which makes me feel better because I'm one of them. But it makes me feel terrible because what are we doing? Losing that money. I don't want to waste that money. And I know you don't want to waste that money. If you struggle with these kinds of purchases, if you struggle with finances in general, Rocket Money will help you with the budgeting, help you track your expenses, help you, like I said, cancel those unwanted subscriptions. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending. It helps you lower your bills so you can get back to saving. I mean, me and my husband have been on the warpath, and Rocket Money has been a really big part of that. It has over 5 million users with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. The average member has saved up to $740 a year using the app's features, which is, I mean, that tracks for me. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions. Go to rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Again, that's rocketmoney.com/fakethenation. Save the money at rocketmoney.com/fakethenation.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today's show is sponsored by Prose. This is kind of, I feel like, you know, I'm on some sort of Lord of the Rings journey trying to figure out skincare. And I feel like this customized skincare line is really got my name on it. Basically, every bottle of Prose custom hair care and skincare, I tried the skincare just recently, is made to order and it's personalized. It's got a unique blend of naturally powerful and proven effective ingredients to meet your needs, like specifically you. And then the way they do it is you take this great, like in-depth quiz, basically. They analyze over 80 factors for a complete view of your life, your beauty goals. Like I have oily skin that's also dry, which is just a fun little conundrum. I live in New York City. Like we've got these four seasons. My face gets weird during seasonal shifts. I all of these things I got to kind of talk about in answering the questions. The other fun thing was they asked us at the end, like, do you like a creamy type of moisturizer or like a less creamy kind? And I was kind of like, I think like less creamy. And they were like, that's fine. Like you can do that, but we think for your skin type, creamier is better. And I never knew that. So I love that there's so much kind of
personal information that goes into creating this. I got my stuff in the mail very quickly after. I got a wonderful serum. Like I said, this very creamy moisturizer. And this also very just delectably creamy cleanser that just kind of feel like I think it's possible that I've been washing my face with just like harshness. For like many years, because when I saw this cleanser, I was like, oh, is this what it's supposed to feel like? It's supposed to feel like a little bit of a delight on my face. That's not what I've been doing. So I don't know, guys. And here's the thing. You don't have to take my word for it. In a third party, double blind dermatologist supervised controlled clinical study, which is like the gold standard for research studies, pros prove that personalization works better than off-the-shelf alternatives, which just sort of totally makes sense on a just logical level. If you think about it, just it makes common sense. Pros are so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% of your first subscription order at pros.com/fakethenation will be taken off. That's pros.com/fakethenation. You get your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formulas. Again, that's pros.com/fakethenation. Go and get your just super personalized, luxurious skincare products and hair care products. That's what I'm going to try next. So pros.com/fakethenation. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Folks, I feel like I've mentioned this before, but I tried other services that I was displeased with. And then a neighbor of mine was trying Factor. I had pulled them aside in the hallway and I was like, what are you feeling about this Factor? And they were like, it is delicious. You should definitely do it. So then me and my husband did it and we loved it. They are chef-prepared meals that arrive to your door, and then in 2 minutes, you could be eating them. Like, it's so simple, and they're actually delicious. And for people like me who just sometimes, my schedule can be so maniacal between traveling in different cities and, you know, doing stand-up gigs. It's like I just don't have a typical schedule where I can plan, set aside time for cooking and all that stuff. So something like Factor really helps for me. The other thing that I love to do is try not to eat carbs. So they have a keto option, which is fantastic. It's super delicious. They use premium ingredients. You can get stuff with like filet mignon and shrimp and truffle butter and broccolini and asparagus, right? Like real ingredients. They're no fuss, no mess meals. They eliminate the hassle of having to prep. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility. You can pause or reschedule. I've actually done that. I've both paused and rescheduled. Factor is basically your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long, and look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head to factormeals.com/fakethenation50 and use the code fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code fakethenation50 at factormeals.com/fakethenation50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
And we are ready for topic number two. So Donnie got a lifetime boot from Twitter, which for non-Twitter users may not seem like a big deal. I remember my best friend's like, I never look at Twitter, so who cares? And I was like, no. Understand the feeling that he has right now. It is the feeling that you left your cell phone at home and you're out and about the entire day and you cannot get in touch with anyone. That is the feeling Donnie has for the rest of his life. So it is a big feeling that we've put onto him. And so he was sort of booted from Twitter, but in that time, and as a result of that, he was also, banned from, Facebook for, and Instagram. There's all these things. Pinterest weighed in. Donnie's posting like his favorite fabrics and designs from 2020. And then around that time, all of the conservative leaders and pundits and stuff like that just started saying, move to Parler, move to Parler. Everybody moved to Parler. And then Parler got really big, like at a huge increase in traffic, and they, they crashed and all these things, whatever. And then it became clear, and I think it had been clear from the beginning of Parler's inception, that they were also not really moderating content. And so companies like Google, Amazon, Apple, they all deplatformed Parler. You can't buy the app through their stores. There's no hosting being done by Amazon. And they cited the lack of moderation and the possible incitement of violence. So this raises a big question about freedom of speech in the modern era. We've been grappling with this question. So a president of the United States can no longer tweet, but some dictators are still tweeting, right? What does that mean? I mean, where do you think, do you think Twitter made the right call?
Yeah. I mean, I think like many people, I think it was way too late. The minute violence is incited, you've broken the terms of service, you've broken the contract. And the thing is there's probably millions of future Hitlers on Twitter right now, but as long as they don't incite violence, they haven't broken the terms of service. It's pretty clear cut. And I mean, I think that's what, for me, takes away kind of these existential concerns that we're curtailing, we're suddenly becoming China or Russia, because all of these companies have very clear terms of service that Parler has broken and that Donald Trump has broken individually. And as long as we keep those rules very narrow, we're in good shape. What sucks is that the right is just pumping out their free speech charade, making this seem like something that it isn't, as if we're actually just trying to silence people. But it's no, we just don't want you to tell someone to kill someone or threaten someone's life online. How is this that hard? But whatever.
Dustin?
Yeah, I mean, one thing, it's such a relief to have him off. It's almost like we got it back, like it's ours again. You know what I mean? It's to post our dumb cat videos and our little snarky jokes.
Yeah, make Twitter dumb again. Yes.
Well, he made it dumb. I mean, it makes it it already feels better.
Lighter, yeah.
This weight has been lifted that we don't have. I don't think presidents should be allowed to tweet like that. It's really, it's just too much. I don't know, Kennedy made speeches, you know, just there's a time to get the information to us. It doesn't need to be through this platform. And it does create all this chaos, you know.
You know, and the thing is that definitely now and then possibly into the future, Donnie has access to a shitload of platforms like cable news, like any radio, you know, like Fox and Friends will take a call from him, OAN, Newsmax, all those guys will have him on. It's not that he can't get his message out, right? It is that he violated the terms of service of this, you know, of Twitter, and that he had to be booted from it. I don't see that his free speech has been violated in any way. Again, as someone who has access to so many avenues of speech. So I don't have like any issue with that at all whatsoever. The deplatforming of Parler, I think, is an interesting question, because what do you think of having a service that doesn't moderate content? And that's, you know, that is just letting all of the, you know, these ideas flourish. Do you worry that that could be a slippery slope?
I mean, yeah, we've already proven that, like, you know, AI existing for 18 hours on the internet immediately becomes a Nazi. So yeah, I think that's kind of the end result of letting unmoderated speech go too far, too fast. Like, we know that these things happen already. We now have demonstrable evidence. So yeah, I'm not concerned about this. I think this is exactly how the one limit on our free speech should be managed.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with censorship sometimes. You know what I mean? The fact that, like, Instagram, you can't have nudity on it. And that's fantastic. Like, I don't have to worry about when I'm scrolling that I'm going to see something graphic I don't want to see.
Yes.
Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But, and I think the perfect place for Trump would be cable access, because that's where all the nutbags go. And it's like, yeah, if he wants to just have a place. But I understand the idea of, like, how this can be slippery. I mean, as a comedian, it's like we've seen it, where, you know, someone says something and then it becomes this canceled culture thing that they try to throw around. They were throwing that around today and I was like, shut up. This is not what this is.
Oh, yeah. Can you explain what they were throwing around for people who didn't hear
They were saying that, like, Trump was a canceled cultured president or something, and how everybody jumps on this left side and all this stuff against him. And, you know, where it's just like you say something and then everybody just, you know, just has one sided view of it. And then they just kind of attack and bring somebody down. But we should be able to say what we want to say, but I don't think that if it's geared towards hate and violence, then no, you don't get to do that. You can't wear a swastika in public for a reason. Like, there's a reason for these things. You can't say whatever you want on CBS. It's like they have the right to monitor these things because they're private companies. So, you know, that's just what it is.
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, part of me wants to be like, let's put in like a 1980s standard, which is like, do you still have access to a Xerox copy machine and you can, like, write down your shitty ideas and then pass them around to your friends?
Old school manifesto, exactly.
Like, if you can still do your old school manifesto, then, like, you've got it. You've got freedom of speech.
I support that.
But freedom of speech, and it, you know, in the Supreme Court, it has not included the incitement of violence. So that's just been one of the things where we've historically drawn the line. And I'm into that because I don't, you know, because five people died, you know what I mean, last week. And that's not how it should have, that's not how the speech and peaceful protest are supposed to work. I do think we're sort of twisting our panties into a, what is the expression? We're ruffling our panties? What is the expression? We're ironing our panties. There's something is happening with our panties in which we're sort of like can't stop thinking about Twitter and Facebook as like free speech forums. And I think that's our big problem. They're not free speech forums. They're for-profit institutions that should not be expected to have anything but their own private profitable gain in mind, right? And And they, and that's, I think, something that we should sort of, we should, and I get it because we're all using Twitter and Facebook and all that shit as speech. We're using it to get out our, my speech about my dumb jokes. Like that's how I'm getting them out. But it's not a free speech forum. It is a, it's a method of communication, you know, but it is not a free speech forum. I think, I don't know. Again, I'm so curious to hear what other, you know, what like legal listeners, think about this, your lawyers and whatnot out there. I also want to talk about the Airbnb canceled DC reservations for during the inauguration. Did you hear about this? This, I just saw this trending before we logged on. And they said in their statement, we've identified numerous individuals who are either associated with known hate groups or otherwise involved in the criminal activity at the Capitol. Wow. They have been banned from Airbnb's platform. I feel like this is like unprecedented coordination. It didn't even, I mean, I think it's great that Airbnb is looking into it or that the FBI prodded them to look into it or however this went down. But what do you think about this, this kind of coordination?
I mean, I just think that, you know, we lost an opportunity to give them a 1-star rating on Airbnb, Natch, but may have made, the National Guard's job a whole lot easier. It is a lot easier to, you know, regulate the highways coming in from Virginia and Maryland than stop chaos happening within the city. So I think it's great. I mean, honestly, at this point, it seems like a good policy and also like great advertising for Airbnb. Like that's great. This is great. I want to use them more now.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't think it's going to stop a lot of people because a lot of these people are camping people anyway. You know what I mean? They'll have their tents and their Winnebagos and all that anyway.
I don't know. Some of the costumes we saw on display were quite worked over. You know, there was like makeup and whatnot involved. I think it's whatever help that can do. I mean, I think it's great. You know, they also extended the number of days that like the Capitol is under secure protection from, it's normally, I think, 3 days and they extended it to like 14 or something. All of this makes sense. Let's just let everything simmer down, under like large numbers of guards, making sure that things are kind of quiet. And let's get this peaceful transition of power underway. Are you worried? I mean, you both live in New York City. We all live in New York City. Are we worried about some demonstrations? I heard there's something scheduled for Sunday for whatever reason. Are you worried?
I'm sketched out, you know? It's like a friend of mine wanted to go somewhere on a subway. I was like, nah, I'm not doing that right now. Like, I'm very wary of people. And, you know, it's New York, so it's a little less, but Staten Island's not that far away. Mm-hmm. So it's like there are people that can, you know, get up and do stuff. So, I'm a little sketched out. I definitely, you know, don't want to just be out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, where there's people.
Yeah, I'm not like worried about martial law being declared, like that level of concern, but I'm concerned that just people are going to die in the same way that a handful of people died last week, you know, because like there are some really serious violent people who never got to enact their like war fantasies out. So this is where they find meaning. But like the majority of people that were there last week were like wearing Civil War t-shirts. And it seems like they thought they were at like the Civil War part of Disney World or something like that. Like they're just reenacting some fantasy that they've been presented. So yeah, I do think that small things can dissuade people who don't have their whole heart in it, which I think is a good amount of them, no matter how much they yell.
Yeah, and there's like a bandwagon thing that happens, and especially when it's something, you know, people want attention. And you could see that in the storm where these people like with the Viking horns and, you know, they want to be the guy that's a meme and they want to be this topic of conversation. So that's what happens a lot of times.
Yeah, so. I like this notion that there's a trend, that this is a trend as opposed to a full destruction of American society. You know what I mean? In America. American thought. A couple of things. One, the term is panties in a bunch. Thank you to our wonderful producer, Anita Flores, for clarifying that for everyone who out there who was wondering
third tries a charm.
Why we were ironing our panties by the end of that line. So I think the other thing I would say is that when it comes to these, I think the free speech stuff and all this stuff, like this fervor over parlor, these are trends. And these same, and I may have mentioned this last week, I don't know, but these same people who we don't understand are the same people from 10 years ago who were really nice to us and we were really nice to them, right? And we were all just like civil people to each other. And just as we're moved by shitty rhetoric and shitty ideology and fucking garbage coming out of parlor, we can also be moved away from it. And so I don't like the kind of line of thinking that like America's entrenched in garbage now and it's over, you know, that is not true, because just as some, and again, this very, very large, small minority of Americans got interested in garbage, they can get on it. I mean, they might be the same people peddling gemstones, you know, a year from now, you know? So these things are trends. They are periods in people's life where, you know, where they get lured by the dark side, and then they can get unlured. So I want to kind of remember that as the next 2 weeks happen. And it's not even 2 weeks. It's how long? How many days? What are we at? We're 8 days. Seven days.
Longest week ever. And I've done a cleanse. But I also feel the left needs to, you know, being someone that comes from Texas and has a lot of relatives that, you know, kind of are swayed towards this, you know, ideology. It's like we need to find a different way to speak to everybody. You know, there's definitely the deplorable way of speaking to it is not the way to go.
No.
Like, we need to find a way to have some peaceful communication. I know it's tough because they feel so divided from us.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, that's part of the thing, is we need to have a new kind of communication with each other and not make it about you're dumb and then you think you're elite and da da da, and it's just back and forth, you know.
So yeah.
It's like this, you know, just not working the way we're doing it. And that's why they go to parlor, you know.
No,
they
exactly.
Need a place where their people understand them, and we need to understand them even if we don't agree with them.
Yeah, I think, and again, I'm like scooping myself because this is the subject of my next piece for the Progressive. But like, let's fucking be nice. Like, what does that look like if we remember how it is to be nice? Because we used to do it, and I know that we've also done incredible amounts of injustice to women and people of color under the umbrella of niceness. So it's given cover for some shitty behavior, but nevertheless, we were nicer. Still, we were fucking nicer. So we know how to do that. Okay, let's move on to topic number three. So we read a piece in the New York Times called Why Your New Year's Diet is Doomed by Mark Bittman. And it got us thinking about New Year's resolutions in general. But first, I want to talk about this article. It's so interesting. I just want to say for listeners, I'm talking to two incredibly svelte and gorgeous individuals who don't like appear like they've ever needed to think about dieting, but it is something that the average American is always thinking about around New Year's. I'm just going to quote from the article. The struggle for your health is not a battle between you and the scale or you and the brownies. Excessive weight is a symptom, not of laziness, stupidity, or a lack of discipline, but of a food system that thrives on pushing junk. The struggle is really between you and the big food marketers that sell you that junk, their most profitable products, and politicians who enable them. So my question to both of you is, do you feel the larger institutional powers when you open the fridge or go to the supermarket? Like, how much did this piece resonate with you?
Yeah, I mean, the pandemic was tough for a lot of us. I mean, I was eating sleeves of Nutter Butters. It was because I don't drink or smoke or anything, so, you know, drugs or anything like that. So it's like food was my vice. Like, it was my way of kind of curbing this anxiety.
Right.
So, but yeah, every time I drink a Diet Coke, I think, you know, like, this shouldn't be legal. But, you know, I enjoy it and whatever, but I feel like there should be more regulations on this stuff that's bad for us, especially the processed food thing. But I grew up on it. I mean, it's like we were the first family to have a microwave, and it was like both my parents worked, and it was just like we just had a freezer full of, you know, processed food, and right. we threw it in the microwave. And so I grew up like that. You know, it's like most of my diet growing up all those years was this horrible food that you look on the back, you don't even understand half the ingredients. So I think there should be more regulation on this stuff.
Sarah?
At the same time.
Yeah. I felt like I grew up like eating cancer, basically.
Cipriordi, all that
disgusting.
Stuff.
It's disgusting. But, yeah, this piece resonated with me so much because you know what? It reminds me so much of the way we deal with environmentalism, and we insist on personal responsibility that that's going to solve all the problems. But like, we're telling people to eat better and exercise while our entire society is built around the opposite of that, clearly, because there's a profit motive, and there's also a profit motive in the diet industry and the exercise industry. So, you know, Europe has a much better handle on these things than we do in terms of food regulation and warning signs on unhealthy things, but we just let it rip. I mean, remember the attempt of the soda ban, even when Bloomberg was still mayor, like, even that didn't fly. So, like,
that was so ridiculous. I mean, the backlash against it was so ridiculous. Everything about it was,
But he did get a lot of people to quit smoking. I'm one of them. Like, it was the fact, because I love smoking in a bar. It was like, that was kind of a drink and a smoke. And the fact that you couldn't do that anymore, smoking was less
appealing. Yes, exactly. And I mean, that's a good example of how structural changes can change individual behavior. But like, how could I expect like a working mom who's not making ends meet and doesn't have like time to think, like, you're going to take what's put in front of you, especially if all you can afford is cheap, filling, processed food. Like, it's not their fault on the whole. And so, yeah, it sucks. We live in a shitty country.
Yeah. And look, Dustin, we've both been on the road, and we know what it's like to be in towns, you know, where I might be looking for like my independent organic food sellers in New York, and I know exactly where they are by neighborhood, categorized by name, indexed by variant of vegetables. That's not the same when you're on the road and you're sort of like in between shows and you're tired and you're desperate. You're doing what an average person is doing, and you're just sort of like, I guess I'll just do McDonald's. Like, there is a fatigue that sets in, and you're in parts of the country that are food deserts, right?
Absolutely.
And there's food deserts by neighborhood for each town, but then there's just entire towns that just don't really have supermarkets or whatever, they just don't have a frequency of options. And they may not have a cultural demand for it. So nothing even pops up. There isn't a mom and pop organic food seller that pops up because of the lack of demand. And that, you know, that's a cultural thing. And that's where we need policy to kind of infect culture a little bit the way the smoking ban did.
Yeah, but you also like, you have to force it on us. Like, McDonald's was forced on us. My dream is like, you know, that it's a gold mine waiting to happen, so that somebody takes the same model as McDonald's and just, you know, and it has with organic, healthier food that they can just push on people and put it, you know, a kid will eat a broccoli stick if you put a toy in the box. You know what I mean? Like, that's it's like,
right.
It's like if you just market it better, you know,
marketing. It's all marketing. Yeah. Well, I want to point out from the article, because this article is really great. I highly recommend people check it out. The writer talked about the dominance of ultra processed foods and says that more than half of our total calories come from these ultra processed foods. And our ancestors, no matter where they're from, would not recognize our diet. That most of the ingredients in ultra processed foods are not ingredients you would find in a kitchen. like me and the three of us don't have access to the things they use to make these foods. He writes, the result has been an average weight gain for adults of more than 24 pounds between 1960 and 2002, and an epidemic of chronic disease. And that between the execution of your knowledge and the execution of your wishes stands a $14 billion food advertising budget, which is, again, I think, it's about marketing. Like if that $14 billion was used in the other direction, imagine, you know, what would happen. I think we're asking also, like when it comes to New Year's resolutions, you're basically saying, hey, willpower, do all of the job, even though $14 billion of pressure is applied to your willpower to do otherwise. And that, I think, is the incredible thing about how this industry is working against your one individual person's desire to like lose a few lbs.
Definitely.
Absolutely. In marketing, like you said, I mean, whenever time I go into a Whole Foods, I feel judged. You know what I mean? It needs to be more open to, you know, it's like Piggly Wiggly. And, you know, I go to Piggly Wiggly, everybody's having a good time. Nobody makes me feel bad.
Right. It needs to be inviting. Like, it needs to be inviting.
Yes. You got the music going. Yeah, it's a good time.
I hear you. By the way, shout out to Cardenas in my parents' hometown in California, which is a Mexican supermarket that is the most super fun supermarket in all of America. Yeah. If you are in the desert of Southern California, you should go to Cardenas. All right. Well, let's talk about other types of New Year's resolutions. Did either of you make any resolutions? And now that we're on day 13 of the new year, have any of them stuck? Do you even remember what they were?
No, I'm like morally against. I just try. This is my one way of like rebelling against society is I don't do New Year's resolutions because they're designed to fail. So I have none. I'm going to stay the shitty person that I am all year long. I just eat whatever's fed to me and marketed to me.
No, but okay, Sarah, I just want to say about you that, you know, you endeavored to build and amplify Reductress, right? And that's an incredible gargantuan task. And you were able to use some sort of reservoir of personal resolution making to do that. Do you have a secret?
Okay, so I think my thing, you know how some people talk about like drinking and partying on New Year's like amateur hour, like the real drinkers do it all year long. I think that like, right, honestly, just like running a company and all that shit involves so much planning and goal setting regardless, that I'm like, I'm right, tired of goals. I don't want to have any more goals. Like, I could talk about boring business goals, but like, no, this is my vacation. New Year's no goals for me.
Yeah. Because you, so basically your secret is that you do it every day, that you're goal setting every day.
Exactly. I just like play it cool and pretend that I don't.
Right, got you. Yeah. You really do, because I would, you know, you make it look easy. Dustin, did you have any resolutions?
I did until I saw de Blasio dancing on New Year's Eve and just kind of...
What was your resolution?
I feel like all these kind of traditions and things don't matter anymore, you know? I mean, I feel like it's the way life is right now and what we've gone through in this last year. I think it's more about just waking up is a big deal, you know, actually exercising, you know, and just doing, you know, basic things is a big deal that, you know, and I had such, you know, I worked really hard on trying to do something creative during all this craziness of last year that I'm exhausted. So this year I'm just trying to slowly get it together, you know, figure out things that I enjoy doing. And I think to me, my resolution is to do that, enjoy what I'm doing and make goals, but not overextend myself.
I have to say, you're making it sound like that's not a big goal. But that, I think, in the hustle and bustle of especially freelance life, but just every type of life where you need to earn a living, which is most people, that's actually a really big deal, because I would say I spend more than half of my work life doing things I don't enjoy, and yet I am my theoretically own boss, right? Yeah. So I think that's actually a really an incredible goal and a difficult one to maintain, because you really get sucked into capitalism, putting food on the table and all that stuff. So any sort of enjoyment of work kind of gets pushed and relegated to the side and pushed away and pushed away and pushed away until you're living a life in which you truly don't enjoy your work at all. You know what I mean? That so easily happens to people. And I would argue to most people. And so kind of finding that again, I think, is really, really difficult. We also looked at a piece called 7 Steps for Making Your New Year's Resolutions Stick in the Harvard Healthy Publishing, in a Harvard Health website. And, you know, they talk about dream big. Again, like Dustin, you're someone who put out an album at the end of last year, the Zoom album, and which everyone should be downloading. And one of the first 7 steps for making a New Year's resolution is dream big, which is funny because I would have thought it would be dream small, like make it a manageable, an incremental thing. But no, it's like to do something big, because there apparently it inspires others. Others can cheerlead you. It's also a little bit, I mean, it also kind of creates a circle of accountability, you know, if you start talking about the big thing you're trying to do. Have you ever felt nervous to tell people about the things you're trying to do?
Yeah.
You know, especially in the arts, there's sometimes people that, you know, one silver lining is, you know, enduring all this is you don't have people kind of, you know, around you that are negative, you know, because you don't see people like you used to. You know, there used to be a lot of competitiveness in the arts and things and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, sometimes I feel like people, you know, self-doubt and stuff give you self-doubt. But, yeah, I try to, the best thing to do is just kind of like keep it to yourself until you get the ball rolling, I think. Because a lot of times I'll get excited and tell somebody and then they'll just, you know, break my spirit. So I try to stay away from that. So getting rid of that toxic energy is, I think, the best way.
Yeah, because it's important to kind of share your projects and be open and get, you know, a circle of support around them. But at the same time, are you getting a circle of envy?
One thing I've noticed that people are doing that I've never seen before is like, I'll see people post like, oh, I have an audition and this is my thing I'm reading. And like, they'll take you through all these things instead of just like, hey, I got the part, you know. It's like they're revealing too much before they actually focus on kind of what they're trying to go after. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's too much.
It's funny because, right, like I think what social media has done is like made us share, you know, minutia of our daily lives. And in like, if it's an actor or something, that might be, hey, this is an audition. This is what my sides look like. This is how I did the part. Like what, you know? And I've lived a life where I never tell it. I basically never tell anyone about anything.
Oh, I know. Audition. We saw you on a show. We were like, she didn't say anything. She's on this show. Like he's on this show. What? We have FBI. What? And it was like, right. That was nice. That was great.
I sort of go in the other direction where I worry that if me talking about stuff is a little, I don't like to brag also, unless I'm fake bragging, but like, you know, joke bragging. But I think bragging is a part of and I think it's a part of social media culture that I'm just like deeply uncomfortable with. You know, I can't handle the hashtag blessed. I can't handle it. So I don't know. Sarah, what are you like when you're about the sharing?
Yeah, I mean, I feel as much as like enjoying attention can be nice, I feel like when we rely on the reception too much and the attention and the likes, it just slowly erodes the capacity to feel joy for the process of making something. Because like, if you lose that, then you just lose the entire like joy of making art in general. So I try to focus so much on just finding joy in the process. And if it gets a good reception, like great, but that's like 5% of the total joy. Yeah.
Right. The part you can't control. So you shouldn't, you shouldn't try. This article also talked about, they talk about dream big, but then also break that dream up into small enough steps. So, for example, if you're in a member of Congress and you want to impeach and remove the president of the United States, it's a really big gargantuan task, break it up, get that scheduler out, see what you can do in the Senate while also doing other things, break up your goals. And then another aspect is understand why you shouldn't make a change. Like basically understand why you've been doing the shitty thing. Like what aspect of the shitty thing? So the example they gave, which I thought was really excellent, is if you're a smoker, part of the thing you enjoy about being a smoker is taking a break out, like going outside and taking this moment to yourself. So they're sort of like in the thing that you enjoy about smoking is the break. So take breaks, just don't have them be about smoking. Right. So analyze why and for me on a personal front, I when I'm trying to like not eat my pastries, there's like a particular cafe that I like to go to and eat pastries. It's almost more about the ceremony of just going to this cafe and seeing some people I know and like having a nice sit outside in the outdoor dining in the 35 degree weather, in New York City during a pandemic. But I realized like the thing I like is the ceremony. I could do the coffee without the pastry, right? Mm-hmm. So that's like part of, the kind of like getting yourself to do it. And then here's one. And I wonder if either of you ever do this. I'm really bad at doing this. One of their things is give yourself a medal, like encourage yourself to keep doing it by being like, oh, you get to, I don't know, like play this song at the end of like a 20, a 5 mile run or whatever it is. Do you ever do like kind of nice things to yourself to applaud yourself for doing the goal?
I definitely do. And I will share the most awkward one just because yes! working from home for so long is I'm like, if I finish this piece of writing, I get to go to the bathroom. I get to pee and it's going to be so great when I pee. And let me tell you, I finish my writing so much faster. So yeah.
I could never do that. I would just be a mess. I'd have to wear the pens. Sometimes, I'm a shopaholic. And so sometimes, I'll buy something for myself if I feel like I'll spend a little money on myself. If I finish something, I'm into vinyl, I'll buy a vinyl record or a hat or something, I'll do that. If I finish something.
Right. Yeah. I like that. But I mean, I like the sort of bigger gesture to yourself of like a record or a hat or whatever, but I also like the smaller gesture of urination, I like that. I mean, I like the idea of like, you get to listen to a song or you get to, I don't know, like something, because the thing that I've noticed too, for example, like when I've done my like no carb kind of eating, which is the best way my body functions, I still make a lot of dates with people to go out to eat. And I just like eat the things on the menu I can eat because I don't talk about like, oh, I'm like keto right now. No, I just like find something on the menu I can eat. I don't talk about it. And then because the point is not what I'm eating at the dinner. The thing that I like to do is socialize with other human beings. Right. So it's like, don't remove, the thing has to continue to be fun. And if I can keep making it fun, then I'll can't be able to keep doing it.
Yep.
Yeah, I quit drinking years ago. And, before COVID, I enjoyed just being in a bar.
Yes.
And it was the jukebox and the lighting, and an occasional fight. I miss those things.
Now you can get into a bar fight in the comfort of your own home. Diet Coke.
That explains all of Dustin's like random bottles like hanging around. He's like trying to recreate a nice bar fight scene in his apartment. All right, folks, let me know if you have managed to maintain any of your New Year's resolutions, and if you have a trick. And this isn't about New Year's resolutions in particular, it's about just resolution making in general, creating new habits. I'm just so curious about how all this stuff works for people. And Sarah, I feel like I'm going to hear a lot about your urination reward.
I can't wait.
Which is one of the more hilarious personal rewards. Sarah, taking self-care to a sadly low level. all right, folks, that's the end of the show. And I just want to ask you both as we close the show and as we've had a tough week and hopefully we'll have a quieter one in the week ahead, maybe. What is making you feel hopeful?
You know, a vaccine rollout, an impending summer with a Democratic president, and the capacity to see other people again. And also getting married in October. I think that's going to be awesome. Oh, wow. So, yeah, I'm stoked for that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Dustin?
Yeah, all the things that Sarah said, except the wedding. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting, you know? I mean, I'm not going to let these events, you know, prevent me from being excited, you know, about Biden being, you know, president and us, you know, having the House and like all those things are really, really optimistic. And I think it's, and hopefully, and I think we're going to get along a little bit better. I mean, somehow I feel like we're going to have a breakthrough with kind of all this chaos and hopefully the peace will happen. I'm hopeful for peace. I really am. Believe it or not, even through all this crazy.
Yes, me too. And the thing I'm hopeful for sort of just a lot of what you've already said, but that we now, like, I know so many people who are getting vaccines because they're healthcare workers or their teacher. A friend of mine is a teacher is getting her vaccine on Friday. We went from a thing being theoretical to actually seeing people get it. And that's so exciting. Like, it really, every time, please keep sharing your vaccine stories with me because it does. It makes me feel better every time. It's like, this is actually happening. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And again, I think one thing that the insurrection has shown me is the extent to which people, you know, I know my parents have some friends who were on the Trump train who were really disgusted by what happened. There are so many more people that are just really upset by what happened. And so it is, you know, I think there is a chance for this being a unifying moment in American history. And that is, you know, that's also something to be hopeful for. Folks, what I would really love is for the people of Fake the Nation to be able to follow you and all the good work you do. Where do they do that, Dustin?
Yes, you can follow me at Dustin_Chafin and all the Instagrams and Twitters out there. And please buy my album, the Zoom album 2020. I'm really proud of it. It was like a way for me to kind of do something creative and wild during the pandemic. And it really turned out the way I wanted it to. So please buy that. You can get it on Amazon and iTunes. But thank you so much.
Yeah. And just to let listeners know, the remarkable thing about the album is it was literally recorded on Zoom and there's laughter from all over the country. That's embedded in the album that was recorded, you know, and it's also really just kind of cleverly done. So congratulations on that. It's really fantastic and so fun and funny. Sarah, where do people find you?
You can find me on all the social medias at Your Papalardo, and check out Reductress.com. And if you are looking for a pod-friendly game, Reductress has a card game that you can find on our website pretty easily. Check it out.
Sounds fun.
I love that. I've sung the praises of Reductress, so please definitely follow Sarah and all of the work that they do at Reductress, which is amazing. Folks, I mentioned last week the breaking news was that I'm on TikTok, so things are happening with me in a video on TikTok, and again, all of social media should be shut down, and I'm generally against it, but also follow me on all of the social media. ideas that I am against. What I really would like to do, though, is thank the people that make Fake the Nation a possibility. We are talking about our wonderful producer, Anita Flores, our talented audio engineer, Andy Christensgabi, Alter wrote our theme music, Lily Fleshler helps with research, and listeners, we'd love to hear from you. So send us your feedback, topics we should be chatting about, guest ideas you might have. You can leave us a voicemail at 331-901-0005 or drop us a line at comments@fakethenation.com. If you like what you hear, please favorite Fake the Nation on Stitcher, follow us on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Pandora, and the SiriusXM app, and do leave us a review on Apple Podcasts because it helps more people find out about the show. That is it for us. Thank you, everybody, and we'll be back in your earballs next week.